You are now listening to the True North Dom podcast, a discussion of all things kink, fetish, Diaz, and sexual curiosities. Have your safe word ready, kinky friends, as you join your hosts, Madam Red and Oban. Friends, welcome to the True North Dom podcast show. I'm your host, Daddy Red, and I'm here with
Oban, your co-host.
Can you see me?
No. Okay.
Oh.
You know, okay, we're recording this. Our videos are being, we are gonna see our videos, but I can't see your video while we're recording because of some Wi-Fi issues. And but I cannot see currently what Daddy Red is doing. And I suspect strongly you're fucking with me.
Maybe. Do you like my pronouns?
Yes. So we have a snow day out here today. We have so much snow.
Yeah. I think it came across the whole country, really, because yeah. I know I was just chatting with video chatting with some friends down the States. They've had a lot of snow recently, the last 3 days ago, and now we're getting the grunt of it.
Yeah. I was supposed to be on the road coming to your place today, but we've put it off another day, and we just said, hey, we got time. Let's do a recording, right?
Yeah. I think you're coming tomorrow,
yep.
Maybe?
I'm pretty sure I'll be able to make it up tomorrow. It's just a clusterfuck down here today. So, yeah, no, I'm going to come up tomorrow, and we have some really fun stuff planned. I'm not going to go through any of it because, I mean, maybe it doesn't come to fruition, but for number one, we're going to record a ton of podcast in person. So,
that's been a long time.
Dude, it's been a very long time. Before we took our break. So it's been a long time. Before that, it was probably, 4 or 5 months before that. So this is going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to come down and hanging out with you.
Some streaming, some photography. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll do some scenes.
God, when's the last time we had a photo shoot?
Dude, a long time. Probably the snow one. The one that we did for Christmas.
Oh, God, that was brutal.
Yeah. We were so cold out there.
Oh, God. Latex is not insulating in the winter.
No, not at all. By the way, what do you think of this? See my little...
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. It's an ornament.
Yeah, so I got this from a friend of mine. Actually, Latex Jade. This is my late Christmas present. Isn't it cute for those that are listening?
It's adorable.
You can check on Spotify, but it's just a cute little ornament. I love it.
Aww.
Right? How cute is that? So what's been going on with you? Let's talk about some crazy sexy shit. What do you like to do when it's cold and wintry out?
Sleep.
You know what I like to do? As a Canadian, when it turns into snow day, we drink. And that's what I'm doing.
Oh, so hear me out. I was going to make a whiskey drink.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I was like, I need to go to the gym first, or I'm not going to go to the gym once I drink.
That's true. That's true. Do you like, okay, so when you're doing scenes, you like to do your scenes sober. I mean, you're not a person that partakes in too much stuff, right?
Hear me out.
Okay.
With clients, I'm sober.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's a personal, like a romantic partner, obviously you play enough where there's a trust built. And depending on the scene, obviously if I'm going to be stabling or sticking needles or sounding, I'm not going to be under the influence of anything.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously maybe just like, wine for dinner and then later you do a scene. Like I'm not, I don't do drugs. I'm not stoned. Mm. So drinking is probably my only.
Yeah. Like a little bit of red wine. Like I've seen you do scenes where you're like, I mean, the drinking's part of the scene where you're like spitting into someone's mouth and stuff.
Spitting it in their mouth or in their asshole or in their feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've never been, I don't enjoy getting drunk either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't drink a lot. You're not a person that drinks a lot.
I don't
I do, but I don't understand. Like, the sex is horrible. Being drunk, you wake up feeling like shit, and it's horrible. It's expensive here in Canada to go out and drink. I like a couple pleasure drinks. Like, I'll drink, you know, a couple whiskey drinks, and then I'm good. Just a little hotty toddy or nightcap, a nice little buzz to feel warm and goofy. And that's it. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm in agreement for the most part. I enjoy to have a few drinks when I'm going to be going out, or even if I'm playing with a partner. I've talked before when I used to play with my dom, me drinking at a bar, like a restaurant bar, that was part of the setup, right? She was telling me what drink to order, when to pay, when to come over. That was part of it. But it's just a couple drinks. And drinking, like, to a point where you're drunk, I don't enjoy that in kink or in sex, because if I'm drunk, I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to perform well. I'm not going to be performing well.
It's sloppy. Right. It's horrible.
It's sloppy. Yeah. It's horrible. But I do enjoy like 2, 3, 4 beers. For me, that's just getting started, right? Like, or a couple glasses, 2, 3, 4 glasses of wine. That's an easy chill, right? And I think that's a good conversation. We've talked about substances and playing before, but I think it's a great conversation to kind of have again. And I've mentioned it, the difference between the two scenes, from the interior, the Okanagan of BC, and then the lower mainland of British Columbia.
Totally different.
Totally.
Like, it's definitely a party scene on the West Coast.
Yes.
It's a very sober scene, unless you're in the swinger community.
Yeah.
They involve their activities with drinking.
So I actually had a really awesome, West Coast Bound just happened last week. So that's an awesome, I think we talked about before, it's an awesome scene down here where it's really more of kind of seminars and classes. There's obviously dungeon play in that. But there was a bunch of people in town, and one of your amazing friends wants me to say hi, Canadian Fetish Photos.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I finally got to meet them in the beginning of December.
Yeah. So I actually, they set up a dinner for everyone because they were in town. And so they set up a rubber dinner. Now, it wasn't a dinner where everyone was going to be in full rubber. Now, a lot of them did show up in rubber, but it was just a dinner.
That would have been cool.
It was a dinner of rubber freaks, and half of them still there was no one was wearing hoods because we went to a public place, and we don't want to kind of force our kink on everyone, right? But a lot of them were wearing rubber pants, rubber shirts, so a lot of rubber was being worn. And it was an awesome dinner. It was like 20
people. You could have been like, yeah, we all just got off a photo set. Like, Vancouver's huge for video photos.
First of all, it's Vancouver. No one gives a shit if you're, like, wearing latex out. That's not out of the ordinary.
I do get that, though. Like, yes, kink is great, and I enjoy kink and blah, blah, blah. And I do it, you know, in sometimes, like, photography and public settings and stuff. But I don't do it where there's kids.
Yeah,
and that thing really pisses me off with kink and having these sexual exploitations and stuff, and there's children around or people who don't
want to force. That's right. You don't want to force your kink on people. Look, I've done kink walks where I'm out in the public. It's kind of a little bit different, but like, especially going into a restaurant. But what I wanted to say more about this dinner is we started having a conversation about the after parties. There were some after parties, and there was two things that they said that they noticed, because the West Coast Bound is, I think, put on some, there's people from the interior that are put it on, or a lot of people are involved in setting that one up, right? Mm. And one of the things they noticed is, number one, the play started early, like at 7 o'clock, and we're used to play starting here at 11 o'clock at night, and the party was pretty much over at like midnight. And here, parties go till 3 or 4
in the
morning.
That could be the venue.
Could be the venue. But the other thing that they noticed is there wasn't a lot of drink and stuff going on. And I said, the real difference, and this is where they noticed the difference, was here, substances are a lot more part of the play scene, and it's very different from the interior scenes. And
here's in Vancouver.
That's right. And so I'm also, there were some friends of, actually I'll talk to you off air. There's some friends that you know, because I don't know their kink names, that also said hi. So anyways, some people that met you. So, and I said I'd be talking to you and heading up to you. So we had a great time.
Hi, guys.
The but that's where I kind of wanted to have a conversation of substance use and playing.
Yeah.
So so drinking, I like a little bit of involvement. Let's talk about other substances and their involvement and their play, pros and cons.
Here's an interesting experience. So a while back, I told you I started slowly exploring microdosing mushrooms. Yep. Like I haven't done psychedelics and stuff since I was like 18, 19, right? Mm-hmm. Anyways, I was exploring, you know, these mushrooms, eating these gummies and stuff. And long story short, we were gonna mess around and maybe do a scene, but psychologically, I wasn't there, man. Mm. I just wanted to cuddle. Right. And I'm a really horny woman.
Wait a second. So mushrooms like, turned you into a little cuddle queen?
If anyone knows me, I'm probably cheated on a lot because I am not a very cuddly person, right, Oben?
You aren't.
When it comes to certain affection,
I think you're not.
Partners have to force it on me. I'm like,
you're not a touchy person. And I'm the opposite. No. And I know in our dynamic, I've definitely forced, you know, hugs and touchiness on you.
But I'm not.
You're not cold. You're not a touchy person. But the fact that you.
Which is weird.
You had shrooms.
My love language is touch.
Right. So I think it's a combination of trust.
Trauma. Avoidant attachment. Right.
So when you're feeling safe and in that place, then you're okay with touch. And we've definitely.
I have a very high sex drive.
Yeah.
Like I'm all about fucking in my relationships.
Yeah.
Like
but we've definitely gotten.
My partners.
But we've definitely gotten a lot more touchy and feely over the years. Like, cause, you know, you feel safe. And
years.
Whatever. Yeah. Years. Exactly. It takes years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you I'm just turned into this cuddle monster when you're on shrooms.
I did. Like, I didn't even want to do this.
Right.
I didn't want to have sex.
Yeah.
And like, I was just like, can we just cuddle? Aww, I just want to feel love. I did. I had no interest in doing a scene or fucking.
Maybe when it come over, we'll do some shrooms. You just turn into this little cuddle puddle.
I explored shrooms for about 2 weeks. Mm. And then I ended up going over some friend's house in the community, the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And some girl went into some deep arginous, like, deep discussion, and I just started freaking out. I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is why I don't do mushrooms. Oh my God, I hate this. Get me out.
Right.
And I stopped.
You started spiraling. I get it. So let me.
And I'm an overthinker as it is.
So I think that's one of the things I want to talk about, the cons of using anything that's going to affect your mind. So I'm going to say that's marijuana. That's going to be mushrooms. LSD, any kind of those kind of medications, they're going to, because kink, and especially the kink that you and I love to involve ourselves in, is very mind fuckery. So you have to be aware of the compounding effects of those on your play and what's going to go on and how it's going to, you know, especially if you're being, say there's an intense scene where there's humiliation or some really heavy, intense, visuals, it's going to affect you, probably in a negative way.
You know, I know you didn't get to be a part of the conversation. We were talking with Kink Collective there, and it was interesting his perspective and the spirituality and this connectedness that he gets when he does some things during his kink activities. Mm-hmm. And I guess for me, I'm a spiritual person, but when I'm on those substances, I overthink and I see some really disturbing things.
Yeah.
So maybe my brain's just
Well, but that also can be
for that stuff.
I mean, that also can be adjusted with the amount that you take and stuff like that. But so, I mean,
I do dive in pretty hard.
Sure. So I think we're saying, I mean, I've been on shrooms where I literally saw the shaman fucking hovering in front of me and I thought they were like the fucking devil and like, and I took a lot, but usually when I take very little, I just feel chill and I want to hang out. So, but again, we're putting out a warning. We're just letting people know, sure, that if that's going to be part of it. Now, what I find is very big in the scene here in Vancouver is ecstasy or Molly. Pretty much the same thing. And cocaine.
I would be nervous on the coast with the ports and the fentanyl crisis here in Canada.
So let's just
to do
okay.
any of that
so
stuff.
Let's just preface by saying, before you're going to do any of those drugs, get them tested. You can get them tested for free. Yeah. You can drop them off. You can send them in. So let's say that you have a safe supply, okay? So that we're making the presumption that the supply you have is safe. And it's, especially here in the Lower Mainland, it's very easy to get tested and it doesn't cost any money to do it. So say you've tested your supply, it's safe, and you want to partake in some of those. I enjoy partaking in small amounts of ecstasy or Molly when I'm out in a scene. Because for me, what it does, especially if it's a crowd of people, if I'm taking small amounts, I'm more outgoing. I'm feeling sexy as fuck. I'm in my stuff. I'm feeling good. My senses are kind of heightened and feeling great. It's a level. If I take it to a different point, I just want to lay in the ground, get naked and masturbate. So we're not going to do that in around a whole crowd of people.
These days, the dangers, like you said, we didn't have test kits when I was a teenager, right? No. That didn't exist.
Yeah.
And when I was young, like, I guess the reason with Molly is because it releases all that dopamine, that serotonin intake. I, the next day, would feel very depressed and suicidal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, one pill wasn't enough. Next, you know, I'm not condoning this, anyone. Yeah. I would eat like 6 pills in one night.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a lot, girl. That's a lot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I partied hard in my younger years.
So let's just put the warnings out there. So obviously we're not condoning any of this. There's high risk involvement with any kind of substance abuse. But everyone knows when they come to our podcast, they're getting the real conversation. They're getting the real talk. We're not here giving you health advice, okay? We're just talking about experiences and things, and these are things that you should be aware of going into it. So we're not condoning anything, but we're doing real talk here, and this is what's going on. Now, when it comes to the other substance, cocaine use, I think worldwide, but especially in Canada, especially in Vancouver, is very prevalent. It's pretty much the largest drug.
It's watered down bullshit.
Sure. But it's basically what besides marijuana use, which is legal in Vancouver, it's the second most substance that's consumed.
Ben, go to the Caribbean, do a line, then come back and tell me what you think of the Yayo here in Canada.
Yeah. So for me, what I find is I don't enjoy cocaine in a playing scenario or an event scenario, because I find for myself, that gets me into my head. I get a little paranoid. Mm-hmm. It's actually the opposite for me. I don't want to be social. And also too, when I'm in my latex, especially my hood, it becomes too intense. So what happens is I start to disassociate even more, and I just sit there like,
interesting. Right.
So it's not a fun.
It makes me just want to shit and talk a lot. So I just do espressos now.
Right. So it's not. It's
just the same effect.
It's not a drug that I enjoyed using in a party scene. But like I said, they are doing it. So what
I do. I was going to say, I get requests from clients. A lot of people enjoy vaping before pegging or like fisting, some sort of anal play, I think, because it helps relax the sphincter.
Okay. And you're telling me vaping and, like marijuana?
Yeah. They'll want shatter or something, right? So I'll have clients inquire if they're allowed to do that to relax and stuff. And then I do have some clients that ask about poppers, which is illegal in Canada.
Yeah. I've never partaken in poppers.
I have not.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't speak on experience. I know it's very big, especially in the gay community, because, and I don't know.
It's a vasodilator.
Yeah, I don't know any of the
science behind it. And I have a heart
condition, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a dilator. It helps them get a little bit more relaxed, the sphincter, and, you know, a little bit better anal play and stuff like that, right? So.
Which is interesting because L-arginine alpha-ketoglucrate, which is in a lot of sports products, it goes by AKG. That's a vasodilator. Mm-hmm. But I guess, again, I don't know much about poppers. Like if it's in the nitro.
I don't know. I don't know any of
that
stuff.
Family or, yeah. I don't know either.
So I think the conversation needs to be, you know, and also to like, for instance, like Molly, you can get very horny and very excited. But also, I can't come when I'm on Molly. I'm just...
Brutal.
It's like the worst fuck you ever. It's like, I'm the horniest ever, and I'm not going to be able to come. And then with cocaine, lots of males have a hard time keeping it up or getting it up when you're on cocaine.
I've heard of coke dick, yeah.
Coke dick, right?
Hear me out. When I... So between 18 and 19, for about 8 months, I just went on a... stint before I went to college. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just got it all out of my system and did everything. And then I was like, okay, that was great. And then rolled into medical school. Mm-hmm. So during that time, though, when I got clean, I mean, like I said, I was doing like 6 pills of ecstasy. And that
sounds like
I would say I would
hard.
Do it twice a week, sometimes maybe depending my access and funds, maybe just every other week.
Yep.
But it was like about 6 pills. And then I found for me, it took me 2 years to have an orgasm after eating that much. Like I could not, even though I wasn't using it, I was clean, I was going to school, I was like working out, eating right, like just, you know, functioning. And being healthy, like I could not have a sexual orgasm through masturbation, through sex, through nothing. It took 2 years for my orgasms to come back in effect. And I had horrible sleeping issues. I had to take Ambien and had to eventually wean myself off.
Yeah.
Because of the sleep disturbances and the issues of falling asleep from ecstasy.
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely the dangers. I mean, it sounds like you're going pretty damn hard, girl. You don't do anything chill, do you?
Yeah, I guess.
I do too.
I garden. I read books.
I know, but what I mean is like when you're going to do something, you do it.
I do.
You're like,
I do.
I'm gonna
and
do
I
drugs.
Do it extreme.
I'm doing them all. Imagine if I met 18-year-old Daddy Red. That would have been interesting.
Oh, my.
Interesting.
You probably would have. Well, you were in a different place when you were 18. I think
We wouldn't even cross paths at the end, let's be honest. Anyways, I think it's just a good conversation. It's substance use is part of the kink scene. It's part of the partying scene. It's part of the life scene in a lot of places. So I think, we've talked about a lot of the effects. I think that goes into your play scenarios. When you're playing or you're vetting someone, there needs to be a conversation of if they're using, if they're not, what to expect. Because, and I'm going to throw this back to you, there is some effects on their tolerances for pain and not pain and being able to respond to things, correct?
Yeah, I had someone about poppers reach out, and I just said, you know, I just want to know if hypothetically we did a scene and there was a medical situation, like what to my abilities do I have control of? And then if I need to call EMTs, like I can be able to convey that medication, because if they administrate a med that could conflict with that, like the more knowledge is better before play.
Exactly. And so I think anyone that you're playing with, especially if you're playing some strong scenes and just like we were talking before, like for instance, breath play, or if you're doing blood play, you're doing needles, many substances will change the consistency of the blood, thin the blood out.
Yep.
There's so many different things that you should be aware of. So if you're doing some heavy scenes, I'm going to advise, especially if you're still starting to play with someone, is to not be on any kind of substance. Do that play sober, especially the first time.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would never do a scene with a random stranger under the influences.
No.
Like I've.
No, same.
Even for a reason I don't go to a lot of the parties on the coast is because it is such a heavy drug scene. Mm-hmm. Like, you and I have went to a party and people were unconsensually touching me and you saw I was about ready to lose my shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm on ecstasy.
That's
and
not
I was
an
like,
excuse.
I don't give a fuck.
That's not an excuse.
I do not like to be touched. I'm going to break your fucking arm off and make you eat it
that's
if you touch me one more time.
That's a very good point.
But I had to leave.
Yeah, that's a...
Like, I had to leave. I was getting so annoyed.
Yeah.
And that's why I just don't... I don't like being around people in a different type of consciousness than I am.
That's a very good point. It's a very good point. Like, the other thing you have to be careful of is when you're on substances, your ability to consent to things and the ability of people that you may be playing is affected, right? So, you know, if especially, let's just be taught, there's a lot of stuff that happens at events, and I'm not just going to say here, where people end up playing with someone and do some sort of play, and then later on they're like, hey, I was drunk, or hey, I was fucked up on Molly, or hey, I was on whatever, and I could not consent to that stuff. So you have to be very aware when you're talking
to
someone.
It's a liability.
Yes, it's very much a liability.
I guess what I would fear, and I've had this conversation with a personal play partner, is, you know, there's a lot of people pointing fingers at folks saying, oh, they consent violated and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they sometimes are under the influence of things and, you know, things are good. But then when they're sober, well, now here this person who did these activities with the person under the influence is getting slammed in the community as a consent violation. And I think it's personally a crock of bullshit.
Yeah, but I'm going to take the other side of that, is that person that was under the influence could not consent, whether they did consent. But if you're, listen. I've been, let's talk about drinking.
But what if they weren't honest?
Okay, but hang on a second.
What if they weren't honest? Okay. They were under the influence.
But let me make this point. Like, I've been out with friends and people, and let's just not even talk about kink scene. And I've been out where we're all been drinking and we're having a good time. And then I've been with people, people you and I know very well, who I know don't want to have sex with me, but they were drunk and started hitting on me and were saying they wanted to have sex with me and want to fuck me and doing things. And I didn't do anything with them, even though maybe if there's a scenario where I'm like, you know what, I would like to play with this person. I'd like to have sex with this person. I don't want to have sex with someone. I want them to say they want to have sex with me when they're sober. And a lot of times I know the next day or two, they were so blackout, they had no idea what they're doing. I think lots of times people get themselves in trouble because they're like, hey man, this person was totally hitting on me. They said they wanted to fuck. I've had people grab my crotch, like all this kind of stuff. And so they're going to say,
you didn't see my face on that one.
Oh my God. But I mean, but they were under the influence, and someone could make the argument, hey, if they're drunk, that's just the real them coming out, blah, blah, blah. But no, you can't be, you can't, no one can consent when they're super fucked up, but it's sometimes very hard to say. I've had people come to me and say, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah about the other night. And I'm like, I was wasted. I don't remember. They're like, you didn't look like you were wasted. I'm like, yeah, I don't.
You're high functioning.
But I was fucked. I don't remember shit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, and I could have said all these things, whether I wanted to or not, but I couldn't consent to it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think
it goes either way, really, at the end of the day. Like, I do enjoy parties that I can go and I can have a beer.
Sure.
Or have a drink and watch things, or, you know, feel a little more relaxed. Would I play inebriated? No. But then I understand why venues and stuff don't sell liquor or do alcohol at play events because of the liabilities and the consent and safety. So it's a really funky gray area because I don't like dry parties. I'll just be real. Yeah. Like, I don't go to a lot of the parties in the interior. I find them like a, I hope I don't get in trouble. Fuck it, I don't care about my community. I find it just like a high school prom. Like, it just, it bores me.
Yeah.
I just, the parties bore me here.
It's nice nice to have like a couple drinks. Everyone gets a little relaxed, a little bit more easy flowing with what's going on. I'm in agreement.
But I don't want a bunch of people all fucked up around me like it's a rave.
Right.
At the same time. Yeah. Like,
so I think, I mean, we're talking about substance use in event scenarios. Let's talk about it in just like one-on-one play or whatever, like scenarios. People are going to...
I thought that's what we were talking about the whole time.
No, but...
Because both.
But yeah, I know both. But like, I think...
Yeah.
Look, I tend to like to have a couple glasses of wine and do some drinks before I do anything.
Yeah.
That's the kind of play I want to do. And we're here, anyone that wants to do whatever substances they want to do, go for it. In whatever safe way, make sure it's safe and have fun. Just be aware that the person, their ability to say safe words and their ability to feel pain is going to be impaired. Their ability to respond is going to be impaired. But it also may enhance the scenario. I know that when I have marijuana in my system, God damn it, my orgasms are like... I mean, it's great. So I understand it. I understand that people are going to use substances. Just have to be very aware of it.
Your experience with marijuana is going to be quite different than experience with alcohol or cocaine or Molly, right?
100%.
Or definitely psychedelics. That's going to be a whole different experience depending how much you take.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I mean, obviously, if you're drinking alcohol, there's the thinning of the blood, and so you're more prone for coagulation and bruising. And
well, I'm excited to come down and see you and drink some wine and have some whiskey.
Oh, I wasn't thinking wine. I was thinking whiskey.
Hey, we'll do some whiskey. I'm going to pick up some wine. Do some wine.
Just so you know, I'm not drinking a lot.
That's fine. I'll drink your half. No. I'm not going to get stupid. But I will... But we're going to, let's just be honest, we're going to record podcasts under the influence. Podcasting under the influence is A-okay.
Yeah.
And we have some.
Yeah, that stinks. It was a bit delayed. I was going to make some Asian short ribs and I have a dinner here, but I will eat it all to myself tonight.
Well, I'm really kind of bummed. It's literally still snowing. Like we've easily got over a foot of snow here, so
yeah.
And anyways,
I guess you've got plenty of time to edit and do social media then.
All right, I get it. I'll put some stuff up.
Micromanaging.
Look, man. So where can they find you?
You guys can find me at cometodaddyred.com. all my porn camming sessions, podcast, all that stuff's there.
And everyone can find me on FET at OBAN1794, OBAN1794, and Instagram, stockings, STALKINGS. Why don't you take us out, girl?
Keep it kinky, keep it freaky. Bye.